Hey guys, Pastor Bear here. Welcome to the podcast for Real Church. We meet every Sunday at 11:15 a.m. at the Worship Center on the campus of Central Christian School in Sharpsburg. You can also check us out online at www.realchurchcoweta.com or jump on Facebook at Real Church Coweta. I hope you enjoy this week's message. All right, you guys doing okay today? You know, one of the things that I'm kind of weird like this, but I like to figure out what people's last words were. Does anybody else like doing that besides me? Or am I the only weird one? Just me. Thank you so much for that confirmation over there. Just me. Let me tell you some famous last words. Here's what Elvis said. This is kind of crazy. Elvis said this. He said this to some people after he had just gotten done playing his last concert. He said this. He said, "Well, I hope I haven't bored you." And then he died a short time after. Steve Jobs' sister said that as he was dying, his last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." And then he passed away. The founder, creator of Apple. I love this one. Winston Churchill said this, "I am bored with it all." And then he passed away. P.T. Barnum said this as he was passing away. He looked at his wife. This is really sweet. He said, "Nancy, I want you to know that my last thoughts are of you." That's sweet. This is interesting. Marie Antoinette, as she's heading to the guillotine, she's walking to the guillotine and trying to get into place for the guillotine, and steps on the foot of her executioner, and she says, "Pardon me, sir, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that." And a couple seconds later, he cut off her head. Isn't that amazing? Groucho Marx says this, he said, "Well, this is no way to live," and then he died. Joe DiMaggio said this, he said, "At least I finally get to see Marilyn," talking about Marilyn Monroe. And the most interesting one of all for me, because I'm a history buff, is this. John Adams laying in his home dying. The second president of the United States says this, "Jefferson survives." Little did he know that that very afternoon, a few hours later, Thomas Jefferson passed away as well at his home. On the 50th anniversary, July 4th, 1824. I'm nerding out, you guys, but that's when it was. 1826, Blake's getting ready to correct me. 50 years to the day of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Two of our founding fathers. Last words. People's last words. Listen, I want to tell you something. Jesus, too, had something interesting to say in his last words while he was here on earth. He did. And you guys know Jesus' last words. And I know Jesus' last words. But here's the thing I want you to understand. A lot of times, we, because we've heard it so much, because we've heard the last words of Jesus, I think we miss the weight of Jesus' last words. We miss the weight of Jesus' last words. This is not really going to be a series. From time to time in the middle of series, I'm going to be doing a kind of an elongated series, and it's called Questions. Questions. Now, these will be questions I have for you, questions maybe that you have about the Bible, questions that you... We're going to be doing these things from time to time whenever we're between series. I want to do this because I get a lot of questions from people, and I have a lot of questions about God, and I like digging deep into those things because I'm kind of a nerd, and we're going to do those things together. Questions. What's the last thing that Jesus said? Well, here it is. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and you guys have heard it before. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples. Now he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. Here's what he says. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I've been given all authority, here's what I'm going to tell you. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Jesus' last words. He had spent 3 years, 3 years pouring into these men. 3 years pouring into these men. And the final thing that he says is this. I want you to go, because I've poured into you and because authority's been given to me, I want you to go and I want you to make... The scripture actually says this. As you go through your life. That's what it says. It's not like, you want you to go over to... It's as you go. As you go along the way, as you go along, I want you to make disciples of all of the nations. And then he gives the instruction about baptism. I want you to do that. He had been teaching them for 3 years. 3 years he had been teaching them. Here's the thing I want you to see. Here's the thing I want you to see. Jesus never says ever, ever, the word Christian. He doesn't. He never says the word, I want you to go and convince people to become Christians. He doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, the word Christian is only found twice in the Bible. Here's the history of the word Christian. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, here's what it says. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to the Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. And then it starts talking about this. It says, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year. And here it is, teaching the large crowds of people. And here it is. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. It was at Antioch. Now, you have to understand why they called them Christians. Because the town of Antioch was walled off. And there were all these different segments of people. It was a big trading town. They would trade, people would come in and out of the town, and it was a walled off town, but there was all these different sections of nationalities that were found in Antioch. And so they had these Jewish people, and they didn't know really what to do with these Jewish people that were coming in teaching. These Gentiles began to accept Christ. These Gentiles began to say this, I want to be a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows after, who follows the teacher who is teaching them. A disciple of someone. If someone is a disciple of someone, they are following after the teaching of that person. And they were saying, I want to be a disciple. And so as a derogatory comment to the people, they just flippantly called them Christians. Little Christ. Christians. That's what they called them. The only other place in the Bible the word Christian is found is by Paul. One other time. In the Bible. Two times in the Bible the word Christian is found. You see, is Christian a bad thing? No, it's not. It's not. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be completely honest with you about this. The word Christian has been cheapened. It's been cheapened over the years. And it has made a lot of people be fooled into thinking that they are true followers of Christ when they're not. They're not. They think they are because at some point way back in the back, they came down front and recited some prayer. But you see, God never called you to come down front and recite some prayer. As a matter of fact, he never had like a situation where he really wanted this formal, you know what it was? It was as he was going, he wanted you to make disciples. So here's the question I have for you today. Here's the question. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? God's goal is not for you to be a better Christian. God's goal for you is to be a disciple. That's His goal for you, is to be a disciple. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what is a disciple? I'm glad you ask. A disciple engages the Bible and allows it to have a final say in their life. Are you with me? A disciple of Christ engages the Bible, and whatever the Bible says, that is what has final say in a disciple's life. Remember this. I want you to hear this. Jesus chose when He would ascend to heaven. And He said the very last thing He said, the very last thing was the best. He said, I want you to go and make disciples. A disciple engages the Bible and allows it to have final say in their lives. They deny themselves. That's one thing. I was in a Dollar General the other day. So, you guys know when you really don't want to run to the grocery store and you don't want to go to the convenience store? That area right in the middle is called Dollar General. Are you with me? It's right there in the middle. You know, you can get meat at Dollar General, but it's like tube meat. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I guess we could eat this one time, or you know what I mean? Or it's like, I don't know even what their generic is, but it's like, I think it's Clover Valley. I think the Clover Valley salsa will do for tonight, you know? Are you with me? You go to Dollar General. I was in Dollar General the other day, and there was a storm brewing in Dollar General. Here's what it looked like. There was a mama who had been working all day. You could tell she was in professional clothes. She had been working all day. She was coming from an office. She had picked up her daughter. Her daughter wanted some candy. Her daughter said, you can pick out some candy. Pick out here. This area right here, you can pick it out. I'm talking about there was Kit Kats. I wanted to pick something out. There were Butterfingers. I was like, what about me? Reese's. There was M&M's. There was all kinds of stuff. What does the girl do? She goes right past all of them, and she picks out the pack of gum. And the mom says, you're not getting the gum. You're not getting the gum because you will get it on the floor like you did last time. I told you can't get gum for a while. Pick out something from here. I want the gum! And she started, I want the gum. So the mom says, she was calm. You can't get the gum. You got to get something from over here. She even picked up a thing of Reese's. Never seen a kid deny Reese's cups. First time for everything. Dollar General last Tuesday. She denied the Reese's cups. Pray for that kid. I mean, that's heresy. Really, it really is. She said, I don't want that. I want the gum. And I was thinking, man, that mint Trident is not that good. It's not. It's not going to do good. The flavor's going to be gone in like 10 minutes. She wanted it. And so this back and forth happened. And finally, the mom turns around and looks at me. And she says, I apologize, but it's getting ready to get ugly in here. Kid you not. I kid you not, she said it. It's getting ready to get ugly in here because she's going to have to learn a hard lesson today. And I said, you let her learn that lesson. I almost pulled out my phone and videoed it, but I didn't. I felt guilty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kid's going to learn a lesson today. I might get some YouTube hits. You know what I'm saying? Didn't do it. Guess what? As I was driving away, that kid was in the back seat of the car, nutting completely up, kicking, screaming. But you know what she didn't have? She didn't have the gum and she didn't have the Reese's. She had nothing. See, what that kid didn't do, that kid had this desire, she had to have something that honestly wasn't even as good. She had this desire to have this gum. But the mother knew that the Reese's was much better. This area was much better. But the girl would not deny herself. Can I tell you that we do that a lot of times? God wants us to, if we're a disciple, we obey even when it is hard. We deny ourselves and we obey even when it's hard. Because, and I've told you this before, not following God's way is easy at first, but hard to deal with later. Not following what he says about relationships, not following what he says about money, not following what he says about prayer, not following, I could go on and on. It's really easy at first, but it's difficult to live with. Following God's ways is difficult sometimes at first, but it is easy to live with in the long term. It's easy to live with. It really is. I'll never forget the first time that my son Blake took a bite. I remember it is etched in my brain the first time he took a bite of real food. I have it on video. I did not feel like that would be godly to show it. All right? So, but I'll never forget the first time he took a bite of food. He took a bite. He was sitting in this stroller and he had been eating all this, you know, this milk and all this kind of stuff from a baby bottle. He had been doing all that. And I'll never forget it because my mom and dad were down. And Wendy had, it was a big orchestrated thing. He had his little thing on and he was pounding his head and he had a little spoon and that wasn't going anywhere. He was just throwing it everywhere. And we had this food and Wendy took this food and he was going, and all of a sudden Wendy put that food in his mouth and it was like the heavens opened up. He was like, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. I'm not kidding you a bit. He was grabbing the food. He was shoveling it in. Why is that? Well, because real food is much better than the milk. It is. Real food is much better than just the milk. Real food, man, has substance. Real food. Can I tell you something? The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 3:2. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians says, I had to feed you. He's talking to the Corinthians. Paul is. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And here's what he says. And guess what? You're still not ready. You're not. One of the reasons why a lot of us don't engage the Bible is because we're not ready. We're not ready for solid food. Listen, if I were to be able to spiritually snap my fingers and see you guys today, some of you guys may have this. Currently, everyone right now is wondering if I'm going to suck this bottle. And you'd be sitting there listening to what I'm saying, and you'd be sitting there sucking the bottle. Now, I may be saying things that are on a deeper level, but you're not ready for it. And you hadn't been ready for it for 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 20 years or 30 years of your life. And so you live day after day, going from trial to trial, consequence to consequence, issue to issue, crisis to crisis. And you do the quote-unquote best you can do because you've never committed the time to become a disciple. And you just suck this bottle constantly. I've told you this before, and I've seen them. The saddest thing in the world is a 75-year-old baby Christian. Disciples engage the Bible. They engage the Bible, and it has the final say in their lives. Listen, not what the media says, not what society says, not what your friend says who thinks she knows better or thinks he knows better. Not what your pastor says. As long as you are going straight to the Word, that's what has final say. And that's what a disciple does. And I want to tell you something. A lot of people think that it wasn't important that Jesus just wanted to love. He did want to love. But I'm going to tell you something. The most important thing for Christ is that you follow His commands. That's why He said it. And the last thing He wanted you to do is to follow His commands. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? I don't have time to wrap all this up, so I want to fast forward a little bit. Disciples exercise their faith. Disciples exercise their faith. Disciples aren't afraid to take risks when God calls them to do so. They're not. Disciples exercise. Disciples' faith doesn't sit there dormant, but they exercise their faith when they're called to do so. My whole life, and I find myself even doing this today, my whole life, I was always dependent on a paycheck. I would never allow, I'm going to be honest with you guys about something. I am actually a pretty good salesman, all right? I could probably sell oil to the Arabs. I'm just being honest with you. I'm a pretty good salesman. I've never had the boldness. Now, God's called me to be a pastor, and you may say, well, you're a salesman. No, God's called me to be a pastor, but here's the thing. I've always, always needed a consistent check because I could never do commission. I could have probably made a lot more money, but I couldn't do the commission thing. Why is that? Because I had, until recently, I had not been able to allow my faith to be exercised. I couldn't do it. I wanted to know, I wanted to be part of an organization that was big enough that I knew that there was going to be no surprises. I wanted that check to come every other week or whenever it came, and I wanted to be consistent. I wanted to know the amount. I wanted to know the budget. I wanted to know everything. Now, let me say something. There's nothing wrong with that unless God is calling you to do other things. The biggest thing that scared me about planning Real Church 3.5 years ago is there was no paycheck. I was giving up a consistent check. I was giving it up. And there is a difficulty between the time you give it up and the time you realize that God's going to be with you. I had a friend of mine call me. I called him and he called me back and I said, hey, listen, I feel like God's asking me to do this. He said, why? And I told him why. And he said, I think you need to do it. And I said, what if? He said, what if? Do it. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You step out on and exercise your faith. You step out on faith and you see what happens in 30 days. You see if God will not provide for you. You see. You see what happens. And the most amazing thing happened. I actually enjoy now exercising my faith. I enjoy it now. It feels so peaceful and so good to be flowing in the river that God has put forth for me. Disciples, and remember what I said, it's up to 3.5 years ago. I mean, I've been in ministry for a long time. 3.5 years ago. I mean, my wife used to tell me all the time, hey, my wife's got mega faith. She is. I mean, she's like, oh, let's do it. Yep, God's got it. Let's do it. And I'm like, I know, but what about this and this and this and this and this and this and this? 3.5 years ago, it was a process for me, and it's a process for you too. But I enjoy living in that realm. Disciples also build relationships with others. And here's the key. I want you to hear me on this. I'm not telling you to manipulate people, but you need to be intentional about building relationships with people so that you can Matthew 28 them, so that you can make disciples and to continue as you go. They build relationship with other people. Do you know what the biggest thing I've ever heard from people that really don't want to build relationships with others, build relationships spiritually with others? You know what they say? That's just not my personality. Can I tell you something? It was none of our personalities before we accepted Christ. It wasn't. It was none of our personalities. The Bible says that whenever we accepted Christ, we exchanged our life for the one He was going to give us. We exchanged our life. If you've exchanged your life, do you really think that God's going to give you a life where you don't share Him with other people? I don't think so. Not if the last thing He said was go and make disciples. disciples engaged the Bible, they exercised their faith, and they build relationship with others. I'm going to admit something to you today that I don't think I've ever admitted on stage, but I'll tell you. And this will shock you. I'm not a people person. I'm not. I'm not a people person. Now, some of you guys are really not people person. I mean, some of you guys are like, you're like two steps from a monk. I mean, you're like way, you know what I'm saying? But let me say something. I'm not a people person. I'm not. As a matter of fact, Wendy is much more of a people person than I am. They really are. Now, some of you guys are like, oh, no, you're a people person. You know, you talk and engage with people. Yeah, I know I do that. I do that. But I only do that through grace of God, because the truth of the matter is I would much rather be sitting at home hanging out by myself. I kind of like myself. I kind of like hanging with myself. I like going to the movies by myself. I like grabbing lunch by myself. You know, people are like, I see people when I'm go be up at Chick-fil-A and they're like, hey, are you here by yourself? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, did you want me to join you? And I was like, yeah. And in my mind, I'm going, no. No, actually, I don't. No, I don't actually. I'm good. You go eat with whatever. I mean, if you ain't got anybody else, sit down, I guess. No. Now you guys are going to see me by myself and go, well, I'm not asking him because he don't want me in there. No, if you come in, I'll eat with you. No, listen, in all honesty, seriously, I'm not at my heart, I'm not a people person. But God has changed me. He's changed me. The truth is, the reason I'm not a people person is because people get on my nerves. Deep down, listen, I call this my old Bobby Williams self, because I'm like my dad in this way. My dad would laugh and cut up with people, but people got on his nerves. They did. And people kind of get on my nerves sometimes. Not any of you guys. I'm talking about those people. You know who I'm talking about. But let me say something. I know, and God knows, when he changed my heart, he changed my heart radically to the point where I love people now. I do. I don't love them as much as I should. Sometimes Wendy has to say, you really need to love people more. Or you need to, you know. But I don't love them as much as I should. But I love people. But I am much better one-on-one than I am in a big group. I am. I can come up here and speak to you, and it's great. But Wendy thrives out there in the foyer talking to everybody. And I'll say, hey, how's everybody doing? Now, I'm not feeling awkward inside. I'm past all this. This is spiritual maturity here, y'all. I'm past all. But the truth of the matter is at my core, the way I was born, the way I was raised, who I am as my old self, is not a big fan of big. I never went to a party. I don't know that I've ever went to a party like where there's, you know, maybe I went to one party. My whole life, I mean, I don't know that I've ever done that. It's interesting because I see a lot of Blake in me. Blake's the same kind of way. He's now he likes people probably more than I do, but he, you know, he does. But he's not a huge go to parties and all this kind of stuff. So he's just not. And I'm kind of the same way. But the cool thing is that God has changed so much about me that I don't even recognize who that old person is. Are you with me? I'm like, man, why would I not want to go out to hang out with everybody? Why would I not want to do that? And I look back and I think, you know, I used to not want to do that. I used to not want to be this. Do you have any I used to not want to? Hey, can let me tell you something. If you don't have any I used to not want to, are you a disciple? The goal of this church is not to save as many people as possible. To not get people to come down to the altar, we pray for them when we dunk them. That's not the goal of the church. The goal of this church is for to be completely real and to be genuine in your faith and to meet you right where you are and to disciple you both into a relationship with God and past that. It's why tonight I'm going to have hopefully 10 or 12, 15 boys at our house, and they're going to be hearing the word. It's why tonight, you know, Shelly and Kim are going to be at Shelly's house with a bunch of girls, high school, middle school and high school girls, discipling them. It's why a week from now, we're going to have what we call small groups. And there's going to be a small group leader and you're going to be getting discipled. It's why this coming Wednesday night, Wendy and some of the other ladies are going to be meeting as a group. That's what it is. It's why this praise band likes getting together right after the first service, after they practice, to go and talk and disciple. That's what it is. That's what it is. Are you a disciple? I encourage you, I encourage you strongly to be a disciple. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Man, sometimes, God, your word just hits us right in the forehead. It just does. Sometimes your word just, it is heavy. And but God, the cool thing about your word is it doesn't come back void. What you say about it is what happens. What the word says, it lines up with the way things are. And we see that your word, while sometimes it is hard to swallow, it ends up being really, really good. Lord, we're not looking for a time when we are trying to be a temporary thing. We want something that's solid. We want to be able to accept that filet mignon from you, God. We want to be able to accept that solid food. We want to understand. We want to taste and see that you're good, Lord. I just pray that you would allow us to do that. Maybe there's people here, God, that has said, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, and but I'm still a baby Christian. I want to commit to being a disciple. Those people are here, God. I pray that they come down front during our time of decision. I pray that they would come down front. Maybe bring somebody with them and pray with them. Maybe I'll pray for them or whoever. I just pray that, Lord, that they would come down and make a commitment. They don't even have to come down, Lord. They can commit right there where they are. I just pray that you would be with us, Lord. Lord, make us all disciples. And as we are, let us replicate. And let us become like you. And let us share it with other people. And let us overflow in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and let's have our final worship song. I don't know where you guys are with your spiritual life. I have no idea. I know some of you guys. I don't know everybody. But I can tell you this. A lot of us come in here on Sunday mornings with masks on, and I want to encourage you to take the mask off. I want to encourage you to take the mask off. And if you need prayer, I'll be right down front. All right? Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Real Church Coweta. If you have any questions or if you would like to contact us at Real Church, please go to our website at www.realchurchcoweta.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We invite you to join us on Sunday at 11:15 a.m. at the Worship Center on the campus of Central Christian School in Sharpsburg. Also, check out our website or Facebook page for directions. Until next time, God bless, and remember to love God, love others, and live real.